Hello, this is Space Kate, and I'm here at the British Interplanetary Society, and it is Yuri's Night 2012. Very exciting night. It's my third Yuri's Night since I became a space geek, and I've had a very different one every year. The first one was at NASA Ames in California, and that was slightly insane, with DJs playing in aircraft hangars. Last year it was Space Tac here in London, where I was revealing my secret of how I might get to space. And this evening we've been watching the fantastic film First Orbit, and with me is the brains behind the film, filmmaker Chris Riley. I just want to say thank you. That's a great film you've got there.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thank you for sitting through it, because it's quite a watch, I have to say. I mean, I've just mastered it onto DVD and Blu-ray in 30 languages, and I watched it 30 times, and that really drove me mad, because when I made it last year, I only watched it probably once or twice, and because it's so long, you know, 108 minutes or so, the same length of time as Gagarin's flight, and so it's quite a watch. And it's dark for, you know, half an hour in the middle over the Pacific, which, you know, taxes most people. And I just spoke to someone coming out who was telling me about how they were hallucinating through this kind of darkness, because you've got these kind of slightly fuzzy sort of image intensified shots of the Pacific at night, which there isn't a lot going on in them. And he started sort of seeing things that weren't there, and actually, maybe you did as well, I don't know.
I think maybe he'd had one more glass of wine than I had before the film started. But basically, First Orbit is, you're sort of trying to recreate the first orbit that any human did in space. That was obviously Yuri Gagarin, and that was 51 years ago. And to do that, you actually enlisted the help of my favourite astronaut, Paolo Nespoli, the Italian astronaut, ESA astronaut. So how did this all begin? How did you persuade him to spend his vital time on the space station peering out of the window? Oh, to be fair, that's not too difficult, is it? But actually doing the filming as well.
Yeah, they're busy people, you're right, Kate. And it's hard to get astronaut time on the station. So going back to the beginning, I mean, I wasn't born when Gagarin flew. I was kind of minus six or something, I suppose you could say. And so as I grew up and people were living on the moon and we were landing robots on Mars, it was a time you couldn't fail to be interested in this sort of subject, which I was, I suppose. But I was always somewhat regretful of the fact that Gagarin hadn't filmed anything of his first flight. There's only one time in the whole history of life on Earth that life gets technological enough to fly into space for the first time, and that was it. And there wasn't really a film record of it. So I got a map from Google, a Google search of where he'd flown, and I started to think, well, could we film it again? And then they put a coupler, this big window on the International Space Station in the beginning of 2010, and I started to seriously think, wow, you know, here's a big window, what could we film through it? What about Gagarin's flight again? So this was the first film I've ever made which started with a maths problem, which was, we went to the European Space Agency and I said to them, well, is it even possible? Is the orbit of the space station anywhere near that of Gagarin's original flight on Vostok 1? And so we did a bit of maths, worked out that, yes, about every 6 weeks the station would cross the same bit of ground at the same time with the sun in the same place as Gagarin would have seen it.
So, I mean, are they on similar orbits? Because I thought his was more of a, well, slightly more polar perhaps than the ISS one.
So there's two important, the six parameters that define an orbit, but two that are really important for this, for comparing two orbits. One is the height above the ground, which dictates your speed, and the other is the angle that the orbit makes compared to the equator. And they are different, but they're not so different that we couldn't film it. So we worked out that there was sort of in five or six segments we could film this orbit one more time from the space station. We couldn't hit go and then wait in orbit and hit stop and that was the film. It needed to be done in sort of five or six sort of these chunks. So we worked out when to do it. Paolo, it turned out, was on the space station at the end of December and November 2010. And so he flew this orbit for us, and he made sure he was up there. He was lucky enough to be up there during the anniversary itself. So he was the natural choice as director of photography to actually to fly and film it. Yeah. He acted as director of photography for us, and he brought the footage back, or they sent it back once he'd shot it. I mean, it didn't take him too long to do, but it was very nice of him to support us and champion the project.
And there's some, I mean, absolutely beautiful footage in there. And you were saying you feel like it might be a chore to watch through it all. I was sitting there thinking, you know what, maybe I should do this half an hour a day. I was actually watching the footage thinking, if I did that for half an hour a day, just to remind myself that, actually, if I forgot the milk, it doesn't matter. Look at the world. It's beautiful. It's made me think more than ever, I need to be up there and I need to see that for myself. But Paolo, I mean, he took those incredible photographs when he actually left the station, and yeah, has those, you know, sort of well, it was a unique opportunity to get the shuttle the station and the Soyuz. And I think there was even an ATV module. And those are beautiful pictures.
They're amazing.
So I think you were lucky with your choice of astronaut.
Yes. And actually, he did an interview for me while he was up there in the Columbus module for the making of that we made that came out last year as well. And he said that he'd been interested in photography and worked in dark rooms as a boy. And so he was undoubtedly a good choice. He's a pretty accomplished photographer. And so, we were lucky.
So the one thing that you couldn't really recreate, though, was the descent back to Earth. So how on earth did you get the pictures that you include in the film there?
Yes, so, of course, you're quite right. We couldn't simulate that with the space station other than deorbiting it, which wasn't an option.
Which would be a bad idea.
Bad idea, yes. So what we just lucked out because this last pass, which went, we hit record in the South Atlantic and we travelled right across Africa and towards the descent point, his re-entry point, the camera lost its focus just as we were going over the bit where he was re-entering. And so we just cropped in on the picture slowly as well to simulate that first bit of getting lower and re-entering the atmosphere. And then we intercut it with some Apollo 10, I think it was, command module re-entry footage. And then the parachute sequence at the end was a mixture of Joe Kittinger's Man High archive from parachuting from very high atmosphere and a bit of V2 footage from the early tests at White Sands where they put cameras on the rockets and they were spinning very high in the atmosphere and then tumbling back, and we simulated this whole return to Earth that way.
And just out of interest, have you seen the film Man on a Mission by Richard
Garriott,
where he actually smuggled a camera into the Soyuz module? Because that, if you want to see sort of original footage of the descent back to Earth in a Soyuz module, then wow, that is a film to watch, because he films it.
He's brilliant. It's a absolutely lovely, touching, personal film. It's very, very nice. And I saw it, I was privileged to see it with him, actually, and he was quite moved to tears after it, and we all were, I think. It was a very special occasion. Yeah, it's a lovely film. I urge you all to see it.
Well, I also urge you to see First Orbit, which I don't know whether to admit it, but there were moments where I was slightly moved to tears. But moving on, where can people see this online, or if they want to follow you on Twitter or anything?
So, yes, of course, we're at First Orbit on Twitter, and we've been tweeting the entire Vostok mission on #FirstOrbit today, so have a look at the archive of that. The film is still up on YouTube/FirstOrbit, and you can buy the DVD or Blu-ray in 30 languages from Amazon.
That's great. Thanks ever so much.